The reading this morning I've chosen is from Isaiah 43, chapter 43. The background to this reading, I think, is really important to understand the context in order to really appreciate the depth and the power of the words that are being said here. This is written by 2nd Isaiah, what we call 2nd Isaiah. He is the Isaiah that is living and preaching through the people while they're in exile. They have been scattered in different countries so that they cannot be united together as a nation. They have been threatened by the governments under which they operate, and they are isolated, totally isolated from everything and everyone that they know. And so Isaiah writes these very hope-filled words, but I think words that if we go to our own isolation places and our own dark days, words that perhaps I know I need to remind myself again and again. This from the prophet Isaiah. In the darkness, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give nations in return for you, people in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you together again. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold, but bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, those whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord. The importance of this text this morning is one that it serves as the foundation for the understanding of Christian baptism. Jesus says in the Gospels that he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, and he was baptized in a baptism of repentance. But John the Baptist points out in that reading, too, that he was going to baptize you with fire and with the Spirit. And it will not be a baptism of repentance. It'll be a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Most of us, in fact, I think I can say all of us who have been baptized at some point in our lives were given an instruction of what baptism meant. If you were baptized as a baby, as I was, you weren't even aware of what was going on. In fact, that's one of the reasons why in some traditions they baptize older people, children, probably going into their pubescent period, or adults even, waiting until they have come to a fullness of their life and make a decision on their own of how they're going to live and make a commitment to God in baptism. Whether you're baptized as an infant or baptized as an adult, I think one of the difficulties that I've always had in celebrating baptisms for people and in being a part of so many different people's lives for all these years is somehow the meaning of baptism gets lost in life. We tend to lose sight of what it really is all about. For most of us, we baptize children and they become part of a church community. And hopefully that community is going to help us do something about giving them an understanding of who God is, etc. And that becomes education, that becomes practice, it becomes all the things that we grow up with as church. But we lose sight, I think, of probably the most important piece about baptism. That baptism is a ritual certainly celebrated by the church, and in it, every baptism service that is Christian, that is done in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is recognized by all Christian churches, which is amazing that we ever got together on that piece. We can't get together on communion, but we got that piece done. It only took 2,000 years. But the interesting thing is, the baptism for us somehow means we are free from sin. And as I spoke about, I think, a couple weeks ago, and I drop in on this periodically because I think it's very important to underscore, when you begin your life, when you are being told that you were born in sin, everything is uphill from there. It's an uphill climb, and the more that you are educated in what sin means and how sin can infect your life and evil become very much a part of your everyday thinking, the more you are aware that you are not worthy of being with God. And those are very religious teachings, and there's something very good about the education that goes along with that. I certainly grew up very much aware of the words I speak and very much aware of the impact I have on other people, because I was constantly reminded that when you did bad things to people, you were somehow violating your relationship with God. And when you said hard things to people and hurtful things to people or did hurtful things to people, you were really putting yourself in jeopardy forever, because God is very much wanting you to live in a certain way. And that's not the way. And to back that up, our tradition I grew up in, we went to confession every Saturday. It was part of our church living. Right, wrong, we were very, very, very sensitive about the world in which we lived. And we were very reluctant to do anything that we were told or that we thought would somehow make God not like us. In some ways, that made us very, very guilty all the time. In some ways, we became almost obsessive about doing the right thing. But in some ways, every day, in every moment of every day, we were aware that we lived in God's presence. And whether God was watching and writing things down in the book like they told us, and whether we were somehow going to have to read through that book when we got to before God, or actually St. Peter, before we even could get into heaven, we would have to account for all those things. Whether that was true or not, it made us extremely sensitive to what it meant to be a person of God. So even though the baptism thing vanished years and years and years ago, those realities kept us aware. And that's why this morning I wanted to take advantage of the baptism of Jesus to call our attention to something that does indeed get lost when we lose sight of the meaning of baptism. Baptism is a ritual for a church. It means initiation into a church. It means you're part of a community. All that's true. But that's like getting your badge to be a Boy Scout and moving on, and it gets very lost in life. The baptism of Jesus was the baptism of a man. When we say Jesus, we're talking about the human person of Jesus, the historical person, the one who was Jewish in lots of ways, and we are still trying to discover what that means and what his relationship really was to the temple and how he really took his Jewishness and carried it through in his teaching. But when we talk about, as I call it on the front of the bulletin, the baptism of the Christ, we have shifted gears. We are now talking about recognizing that Jesus, who was a human being, as somehow reflecting the pre-existent God who chose to somehow be a part of human family, and from that place to reveal truly what God's intentions are for the world. That's why the Christ is spoken about in all of Paul's letters, and it's never Jesus. Paul does not talk about Jesus. He talks about Christ. It's that transforming figure. It's that powerful presence of God in this person. Now, whether he is truly Son of God, with all the debates about who conceived him and all that kind of stuff, moot point. We can argue that forever and get nowhere. fact, we've decided not to talk about it anymore because we're already divided on it, and so we all stay in our corners. Whether he became the godly person by his openness in life to the Spirit of God in him, that also is up for debate. But that allows us to recognize his humanity. And as a human being like us, if he's not like us, then he has nothing to offer us. Which is why I say, in his life, he gradually came to an awareness of God in a way that transformed his understanding of himself and the world and allowed him to become the powerful figure that still is around today, 2,000 years later. He has something to offer because he's a human being like us. Part of his journey is an example to us to follow. He says, "Follow me." That is to take up the very same pattern of life. He did not go off into the desert except as a retreat and came out of that desert experience and lived a normal everyday life. He ate and drank and had friends and had enemies, and he struggled with his society. He struggled with justice. He struggled with all those issues that he had as a young, idealistic man. And in the process, he revealed something of God to us that is just as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago. And that is why it's so important for us in that context. When we say the baptism of the Christ, we recognize, now here's the stretch, but it's a good one, that we are baptized into the Christ, which means that you and I identify, become that very presence of Christ in the world. As he himself was the Christ, human, and yet living in the presence of God and allowing that to change him, transform him, and empower him, so we are baptized not into Jesus. We are baptized into the Christ. And that is so extremely important for this reason. There are times in our lives, are there not, however young, however old, where life just doesn't make sense. There are times in our lives where we are challenged by circumstances and situations, where we have more doubt than we have faith, and we even go to a point where we're in total despair. We feel abandoned. We feel everything we've ever learned and taught and ever spoke about God was false. If you haven't had one of those moments, then you're not alive. If you haven't had those moments a number of times in your life, then you're missing out on something. Because the reality is, just because we live in the presence of God does not mean that we are living in a perfect bubble where nothing bad happens, where humanity just disappears and is replaced by some angelic experience. Not at all. And when you get into those places, how difficult it is not only to get through it, how difficult it is not to just abandon the whole thing. We have all had situations, and we know people who have had situations that are so dark and so bleak that you wonder how they ever get through it. But as a Christian person, I like to come back to this foundational section of Isaiah that became the foundation for our understanding of baptism, because it captures all of life with God. It goes to that very dark place and says some very powerful things. Think about the worst place you have ever been. Think about your darkest moment. Think about when you hurt the most. And listen. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have formed you. I have called you by name. I will walk with you through the river, through the waters of chaos. You may walk through the fire, but you will not be burned. I am God, and I love you. If there is any foundation to Jesus and the Christ, and if there is any foundation to our faith, these are the words that we must carry the most. This is where we are called to live. Not in fear, even though fear is normal. Not in doubt, even though doubt is normal. But resting on this place where I have called you by name, and you are mine, and I love you. That is why this morning I would like us to participate. I invite you to. I can't do anything more than invite you to. Considering your own baptism, considering all the things that we've just said, to remember the day of our own baptisms. And I've chosen part of the ritual prayers, if you will, from the Book of Worship, because we are today celebrating our unity with all those who are baptized and all those who are called part of the body of Christ. But then at the end, I invite you to come forward and to dip your finger in the water of the baptism. It's not holy water, it's water. No. That's why, you know, that if just by the way, you know why Catholics go in, they put their finger in holy water, make the sign of the cross? It's to remind themselves of their baptism. That's what it always was. I wonder how many Catholics do that without even thinking. You know, they go like that. They don't even know why. That's not to condemn them. Most of the rituals we have to be explained again because they've lost their meaning. But that's why. In Easter service, the Easter candle is plunged into a bucket of water because water is the domain of evil in Scripture. And plunging the Eucharist, the Christ candle, the risen Christ candle, into the depth of the chaos, we are redeemed, we are washed clean, we are free from hatred, as it says, from hatred and from hurt. Not from sin, from hatred. That's what we're freed from. So at the end, I invite you to come forward, if you choose, and do that. Nothing special, but I am going to ask you to say, when you do that, I am God's beloved. I am God's beloved. And say it from the depth of your faith and walk away always knowing that you are God's beloved.